Okay, we will now call to order the April 22, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings for Red Light Camera Violations to order. At the outset, I have reviewed the minutes of the February 11, 2014 and March 11, 2014 Red Light Camera Proceeding minutes and approved them. And those have now been executed. With that, we'll proceed directly, well, before I proceed directly into the cases, do we have any announcements to be made?
Yes, sir, Mr. Bukalja. There are two cases on the agenda that have been resolved. Number five for Corbeth Thomas, 0160156197. And number six, citation 0160155591 for Mr. Thomas, has also been resolved.
All right. And with that, we'll proceed to the hearing of the cases. Our first case is Kim L. Burgess.
State your name, please.
Kim Burgess.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, let me go ahead and make an announcement for everyone on these here today on these cases. As it stands right now, if you are found liable for a red light camera violation, the base amount of the fine is $158. Since you asked for this proceeding today, there's automatically another $50 that gets attached to that. If you contest it and lose, there will be another $50 attached to that. So to contest it, ultimately you're putting $258 at risk. I mentioned that to you because you'll be given an opportunity to see your video. And if at the end of the video you want to contest it, that's the money you're putting at risk. If, on the other hand, you'd rather just pay the $158 and the $50 and call it a day, you can do that too. But the point is you'll be given an opportunity to look at your video before you need to make any decisions. All clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's see Ms. Burgess's video.
It's the black Ford pickup.
Okay.
I'll play it again and I'll stop it for you.
Oh, no.
There's the red light.
Okay. Ms. Burgess, do you want to contest that?
Your Honor, I'm not contesting that it happened. I'm contesting that it was me. I know that the registration is in my name, but I'm not the only name on the registration. And I also have an electronic printout from work that states that I was on Flagler Avenue in New Smyrna Beach at 11 that morning. That happened at 12:30 in the afternoon, and at 1 o'clock I was with a client on Flagler Avenue in New Smyrna. This has my name and the date on it from my
place of employment.
So
who had your car?
I'm at work. I do not know. There are four adult children that live in my home. And that vehicle is also registered to one of those children. Whether she was driving it, my son-in-law, or my 18-year-old son, I do not know.
Well, you're given an opportunity to file an affidavit if someone other than you is driving the car.
Did
you do that?
Yes, sir, I did. I have it all here, and they sent it back to me and told me I had to have a court date because I didn't list who the driver was because I don't know.
And so it was one of your children?
Yes, sir. I'm assuming.
None of them are fessing up?
They don't live with me anymore. One of them's at college in Tampa. The other one's rented an apartment down in New Smyrna. The other one since has had a baby. This was October.
Okay. And so you did you inquire of them as to who had taken your vehicle and run the red light?
By the time I got a chance to ask my children, it was a month and a half later. And like typical children, they all say they're not sure who was driving that day.
Putting you in the unenviable position of either having to take the hit yourself if your kids aren't going to man up and do it for you.
Yes, sir, unfortunately.
Been there, done that, ate one myself. Okay. What say the city?
The notification.
No, I'm talking about a college kid who took my truck and ran a red light that I ended up paying for. That's what I'm meaning to say. I'm trying to be flippant.
Notification was sent out 15 days after the violation. With the violation was on October 30th, the notification was sent on November 14th. The statute says that the person owner on the listed on the Registration is responsible, and in this situation, Ms. Burgess is listed as the first owner, and unless she meets the defenses, or none of the defenses listed in the statutes are satisfied by what she's indicated.
Okay. Anything further?
I don't. The registration says and or. I mean, I'm not. I purchased this vehicle for my daughter when she was 16 years old. She's 23 years old now. I mean, that's why my name is on the registration. I purchased it for her when she was a minor. But it does say and or. And where that vehicle is at this current point in time has been sold and traded in for a family vehicle for her and her child and her husband. I don't want to throw my daughter under the bus, but hers is the other name on the registration, and I was at work. It wasn't me. If it was me, I'd have paid it, and I wouldn't be standing.
Makes you very noble for not throwing your daughter under the bus. It also makes you liable.
Well, then, whatever you got to do. I mean, I only came today on matter of principle because it really wasn't me driving the vehicle. I'm sorry my children didn't step up and do the right thing, but I mean,
that in conjunction with the fact that you are still an owner of the automobile, and all owners of automobiles are liable for their operation, notwithstanding who's operating them, because by their very nature, automobiles in the state of Florida are considered dangerous instrumentalities. So, you're just like me. My kid wouldn't step up and pay the ticket either, so I had to.
Well, she'll pay it if you'll mail it to her. She's the other name on the registration. But it was sent to me, and I was asked to be here.
Okay, and we did not get an affidavit back saying this was the person who was driving the car.
Because I really didn't. I don't want to throw my kid under the bus, would you?
I understand that. No, and that's why I paid the ticket. Anyway, Ms. Burgess is liable, and we'll fine her the amount of $208. We'll just go with the $158 plus the $50 for today's appearance. If you'll have a seat, they're going to print up an order for you, and then you'll have that. And then they'll talk to you about whatever arrangements you might want to make with regard to payment. David G. Cutler.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. If you would please state your name.
David George Cutler.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, let's take a look at Mr. Cutler's video. Okay, what say Mr. Cutler?
Your Honor, it wasn't me driving the vehicle. I put an affidavit in. They requested me to come here. If you have some documentation with a picture from the front, you'll see that it's not me. The burden is on the state to prove that, as they know. I've also got the documentation of the vehicle, what was in front of my vehicle. If you'd like to go back to that officer and freeze it or just put it up, what you've got right there. Your Honor, you will see a red Durango, which is my kid's, that I was driving, right there going through the light. Do you see that, where it's under the orange light? Right, if you play that video on, you will see the Denali comes forward behind that. I have a statement from Pep Boys showing that they were doing work on the vehicle, and I show a payment from a Chase bank account. Also, the document...
Who owns the silver car?
The Denali is mine, which was behind my Durango that I was driving, and there was a Pep Boys service tech driving my vehicle.
Did you give his name to the...
Nope, because they were not. By the time this come through the mail, when I've been to Pep Boys, been up to their location, drove across to meet with them, they said, we don't know who does the test drive. It's one of these managers. And, of course, I don't know who it was.
What say the city?
The statute clearly says that the owner of the vehicle is liable unless they meet the exceptions that's listed in the statute by DOT regulations. This, we're not allowed to video the driver. We're prohibited from doing that. And this is not based upon who is driving, but based upon the ownership of the vehicle. In this situation, Mr. Cutler is the owner of the vehicle. We have, and I'm sure we would if he had the information to give us to who was operating his vehicle, we would take that information and we would cite the person operating the vehicle. That information isn't given to us, so all we have left is to proceed against the owner of the vehicle. And, of course, the owner has whatever means or ability that they can utilize to obtain or recover from someone who they feel is actually responsible. But from a liability perspective, from the language of the statute, Mr. Cutler would be liable, and that's so we request that you find him liable.
Okay, the gentleman says by the time he got this citation, which was how long after the event?
Excuse me, one second while I can.
The event was October 30th, 2013, at 2:59 p.m. The citation was sent out, or the notice of violation was sent out November 14th, so 15 days.
Actually, he says 14 days later.
Your Honor, can I just add one quick thing, please?
Sure.
That was the original documentation. If you look from the records and the person I spoke to on the phone, I was not. I worked with the UN, and I was in New York. I did not receive it. In fact, they had to send me a second one that I received at the end of December. So I did not receive anything in November, and I spoke to your office or wherever the office is to say that. And also, while I'm speaking, I'm not the only person on the registration. So if you do go under the statute of the law, it says there are two people on the registration.
And what the statute says is when there are two people on the registration, the first person on the registration is liable.
Okay, also says the burden, you have to prove it, then cameras are working. There needs to be a certification under the statute. You also have the burden to prove that it was me driving the vehicle, and I've got evidence here showing...
Time with all that, let's focus on something that might be a little more germane, if I might be so presumptuous. You asked him for an affidavit. When he got the notice, he responded. He gave you an affidavit.
I have no record of ever receiving an affidavit.
Oh, I thought you said you sent an affidavit.
Well, in your request for me to come here today, it says under my affidavit that I done that I had to come here today. So you're stating here that it's the affidavit, but yes. And I called
Mr.
your office.
Mr. Cutler is telling me he sent an affidavit.
You. Okay, let me see.
He's alluding to documentation from you suggesting his affidavit was insufficient. I was looking into the sufficiency of the affidavit.
The affidavit, if he's referring to the affidavit that's part of the normal filing, the form from the... Department of Motor Vehicles, which is the form utilized, is just the affidavit forfeiting the ability to contest delivery and requesting a hearing. Is this the affidavit you're referring to? Or did you send in
no,
the affidavit of defense?
No, there's that had the statement of where I said the best of my knowledge at the time because I didn't have a person's name. And I filled that in and sent it in and spoke to your office and also an officer when I called back on the phone with a 386 number.
Well, even so, Mr. Vakelja, I don't have that. But if all it says is I don't know the individual's name, that wouldn't satisfy the statutory requirement of what's required. What the statute requires, and I
so I don't need to read it.
There was an official affidavit that was being filed, only that's the court.
Affidavit is supposed to would need to include the name, address, date of birth, and if known, the driver's license of a person who leased, rented, or otherwise had care, custody, or control over the motor vehicle at the time of the alleged violation pursuant to statute.
Just humor me for a moment. Let's assume the gentleman's having his car worked on by somebody who runs a red light, and we're running into a few of these now and then. And he's notified 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 months later, whatever it may be, oh, by the way, on such and such a date, you ran a red light. And he goes back to the establishment that had his car, and he tries to ascertain the identity of the person who drove it. So he's got a business name he gives you, and what he's testifying to here under oath is that was all the information that they would provide him. So he, in turn, provided you all the information he had.
Well, first of all,
we're here to tattoo somebody for running a red light. It doesn't sound as though there's any disagreement that he wasn't the one driving. I don't hear anybody arguing that. And he's asked to provide an affidavit. I understand the detail you would like. And
well, that's what the statute requires, not what I like, sir.
That information could have been provided had she been of a mind to do it. This man tries to get the information, and the business won't give it to him. So,
Mr.
Not driving the car. Someone runs the red light. The people that are responsible for the car aren't forthcoming with the information, and thereby depriving him of his only defense. Am I missing something?
Yes. The first point you made is probably the most important point, which is that it's not all that irregular, that this is happening more often than not.
Right.
And the statute, I believe, contemplates this happening by leaving an owner responsible to obtain that information.
Obtain what information?
Who was operating that vehicle?
He told you who was operating the vehicle.
Well,
a representative of Pep Boys was operating the vehicle.
Maybe we would have cited Pep Boys had he provided that in an affidavit, but he didn't provide that in an affidavit. I would presume we wouldn't have because it didn't have all the other affidavit information, so that was probably not accurate. But nevertheless, if every one of us have the potential that someone, whether it's our friend, relative, business owner, someone that we've entrusted our vehicle to, can run the light with our vehicle. It's not just the service agent of Pep Boys. It can be the person who's washing your car. It can be the list can go on and on who the potential person could be. But it doesn't change the fact that that vehicle went through the light, and the owner is the one who needs to obtain that information, utilizing whatever means necessary. If that means he has to, and I understand this is excessive. Well, I don't know that he did. All I know is
saying he failed. Ergo, he didn't.
Well, he asked for who it was, and based on his testimony, he says that they told him no. I can't contest that because I don't know. You know, we're all relying equally on hearsay. But based on his testimony, they were the ones driving. Not that they're here saying they were the ones in the vehicle, but he says that they were in his vehicle.
But he gave you an affidavit.
I don't know anything about an affidavit. I've never seen it. I don't see it now. And all indications.
That single paper you have, what you just held up, was attached with two pieces of paper. One saying what actually, in my opinion, happened. So I've done it. A Pep Boys statement showing the time of the logged in and the time the vehicle got logged out. And obviously I screwed up by going to Pep Boys and saying, look, somebody got a red ticket and nobody would own up. If I'd perhaps gone a different approach, who was the tech driving the vehicle, I might have been able to get their name. But I didn't go there. I asked them, I said, somebody was driving my vehicle, I got a red ticket for it. But what you're saying, sir, you're saying if
hey, first off, direct your remarks to me.
Sorry, I apologize. What they're saying in that statement is, and it's very clouded, but if I was driving that vehicle and got in a car accident, then I obviously would be responsible. But if it was a tech person driving that vehicle got in a car accident, they wouldn't hold me responsible.
Yes, they would. Because you're an owner of the vehicle. Just like I explained the lady that came here before you, a vehicle by law is a dangerous instrumentality. there are two people automatically liable when an automobile is involved in an accident. The owner, because he either drove it or entrusted it to somebody he shouldn't have, and or the driver.
Then I apologize if I'm wrong, but I was told by Pet Boys that when they take possession of that vehicle and you sign in, they're responsible. That's what I was told, so I'm just repeating what I was told.
They may ultimately be responsible, but that doesn't relieve you as the owner of liability for the operation of your vehicle.
Okay, I apologize.
All right, let's get back to... you're saying you submitted an affidavit. They're saying they have no affidavit.
The document you just held up with my signature on it was attached, so if they received that, they also received the other four pieces of paperwork. I'm under oath, and I can get a witness who helped me put it together, who put it in the mail. So what you've done with it, I'm sorry, you've got that part. It just seems funny you don't have the other stuff, what goes with it.
Ms. Hampton, would you have any knowledge whether we received it? Do you recall?
No, but I'm access. If it was sent to the Violation Processing Center in New York, which I'm assuming that's where it was sent, then...
Whatever the request is.
You're accessing and it's not appearing.
I'm accessing their database and it doesn't appear. That... The request for local hearing form is attached, and the affidavit that he signed, but there's no other documents attached to that scan.
There was four pieces of paper attached to it.
I guess, Mr. Vakelja, what I'm really saying is that the unfortunate realities of liability, as you know, is that... if there's someone else that is down the chain of that liability, then you have to go to that person with expectation that they're going to be responsible and or you utilize what the means necessary under law. He says that they've said that they take responsibility when they get a vehicle. Maybe it meant writing or going online and contacting someone higher up in Pep Boys so they would acknowledge. What we get very, very commonly with corporations and with rental companies is someone notifying us who had a vehicle. They know who had his car, and if they're holding from him, then that's unfortunately not being callous about it, but that becomes an issue between he and Pep Boys and not an issue between the state and this vehicle.
But isn't it the burden of the state to prove that it's me driving the vehicle and also the cameras are accurate and I have the opportunity to turn around and front them people?
Before an issue of accuracy of cameras arises, there has to be some showing that there's some malfunction or something that within the action of the cameras would have indicated that there was some falsity or fallacy, because that becomes a shifting of a burden. The simple burden is to show that these cameras made an observation, not that they've calculated anything, not that they made any special determination, but only showing what passed before them. So it's not something that's calculated that would require an analysis. So in that regard, it's nothing more than just showing what's been, been recorded.
All these discussions are interesting, but the fact of the matter is that this record is devoid of an affidavit. I understand the gentleman says he issued an affidavit. We don't have an affidavit. I wish you kept a copy of the affidavit, but you could give it to me. But it doesn't sound as though that's been the case. The absence of the affidavit precludes the arguments that we're hearing now. So I'm finding the respondent liable.
How do I appeal that, sir?
For the sum of, that's $158 plus the $100 contest. I don't know, you'll have to speak to our attorney.
It's referenced at the end of the chapter. This is the whole statute and reference it at the end, but you'll be going to chapter 162.
And this can be appealed, right?
Oh, it's appealable to the circuit court.
That's exactly where we're going.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, because it's wrong. And I think you agree to a certain amount.
I do agree to a certain amount. Yeah. But there are still some formalities. And let me hasten to add, I hate red light runners. I'm a big fan of the red light as far as these types of circumstances. But at the same time, I'm also cognizant of there is a matter of proof, and like I said, your affidavit would have been of some interest to me.
Yeah, I have the documentation from Pep Boys showing it signed into their control, but I don't have the little note that I wrote explaining it because they say they haven't got it. But you already made your decision, so we'll go to the Supreme Court or whatever it is we have to do.
Quite frankly, I go back to Pep Boys, I tell them to pay that red light camera ticket myself before I went to the Supreme Court, but you're certainly welcome to do whatever you feel.
No, I'd like to take this further. I think it's a good thing for the press and everything else. What's going on? The red lights are getting a bad reputation, and somebody needs to do it, and the state can't get out of it just by making a statute. But thank you, sir, for your time. We'll look forward to seeing you in the court.
Good luck to you. Case number 3, Michael R. Johnson.
How are you doing, Your Honor?
Doing well. Please state your name.
Michael Johnson.
Can you raise your right hand, please, sir? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Johnson, let's take a look at your video.
Silver Volvo.
Okay.
Over in the apartment.
What am I looking at? The far left lane?
Yes.
Red light? Mm-hmm. And then what? We proceed to turn? What say, Mr. Johnson?
Your Honor, I don't know what we're seeing on here. I really can't see, but in my opinion, I'm going to tell you exactly what I saw. The light was yellow when I entered out up under the light. That's all I know. I'm only here today. You know, other than that, I would pay a ticket if I ran a red light, but I just know that the light was yellow when I went out there. Now, I probably could have had the option of slamming on brakes in the middle, but I didn't even see it turn red, so apparently it did that while I was under the light. Or what? I'm not arguing trying to stay out of a ticket, but I don't remember. I'm 52 years old, Your Honor. I've never ran a red light in my life. I don't live like that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, the video shows you before the stop bar while the light's red.
That still photo right there shows the light red, and you're before the stop bar.
I ain't going to argue with you, but I'm just telling you, from what I remember when I got the ticket, as I thought back on it, from what I remember, the light was yellow when I went out there. But I can tell you this, too. I also went back and surveyed that light, and I found out that one car doesn't get past that light, a yellow light. Good, not one car. So you can't even have three turning there. By the time one gets under the light, it's already turned red. And it's still doing that to this day.
All right. Well, in any event, on the basis of the photographic evidence, I find the respondent liable. Find the respondent the sum of $208.
All right.
Okay. If you'll have a seat, they'll give this your order to you in just a moment. Case number 4, Thomas R. Russo. Anyone here for Thomas R. Russo?
Can you state your name, please?
Thomas Russo.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Russo, let's take a look at your video.
I'm sorry, we have a gray Nissan.
One in the far left.
Okay, what say Mr. Russo?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I don't hear well.
They're showing you a video of you running a red light. What say you to the video?
Looks like my car.
Okay.
Right there.
And it's running a red light.
Is it red? I don't know. I can't tell.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I don't think I was. I wasn't even in the car, so I don't know.
Did you fill out an affidavit telling the city who was in the car?
The first one, yeah, I filled out since I wasn't. But they wanted to know who was, and I don't really know.
Yeah, he filled out an affidavit and he put a question mark for a name of a person.
Because I don't know.
Okay. Well, then unfortunately, you're the one liable for it. I find Mr. Russo liable and fine him the sum of $208.
I'm not going to pay it.
All right. If you have a seat, I'll give you an order.
I'm just not going to pay it.
Case number 7, Samuel Walker. Sir, can we please state your name?
Samuel Walker.
You raise your hand, please, sir. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Vakelja, this is the one where we received an affidavit from Sheila Rizzo, and there was some dispute from Mr. Walker as to saying that even though she says it was him, he says it wasn't.
Yes.
And you had instructed us to notice Ms. Rizzo for this proceeding.
Okay.
And
we're in jail now if you want.
We were unable to find Ms. Rizzo at all the addresses that were available to us. And I'm looking over to Ms. Hampton, and she normally searches that out.
Yes, the certified mail came back unclaimed or returned unclaimed. And also, I tried to call the phone number that she put on the paperwork when she submitted it and left a message, and no one called back. So,
okay. Who was the citation issued to?
It was initially issued to Ms. Rizzo.
Ms. Rizzo said Mr. Walker was the one driving?
Yes.
And I told everyone to come on down here. We were going to sort it out.
That's correct.
And we haven't seen or heard from her.
That's correct.
Fine or the sum of $258.
Actually, it's not in her name anymore because it was transferred to him. So.
How do you do that?
I don't know. It reverts back to her? Or?
It would revert back to her, but we still would have to deliver it, so.
So we'd have to dismiss against him and recite against, yeah.
I'm sorry, all we can do is dismiss against him and then recite her.
All right, Mr. Walker, I'm finding you not liable, and we will be fining Ms. who?
Rizzo.
Rizzo, the sum of $258. You're making faces.
If you can find her.
I mean, well, this gentleman showed up, and I assume you're going to tell me you weren't driving the car at the time.
I don't even know her. Okay. I don't even know who she deal.
You showed up. That's what I asked for. I heard from you. You're not liable.
You told me to come back. I'm here again.
Okay.
I don't know who she'll stop her driver's license. Send it stop her license.
If you'll have a seat, they'll give you an order that's determining that you're not liable.
Thanks, sir.
Denise Y. Works.
Hand, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, Ms. Works, let's look at your video.
You have a blue Chevy
utility. Yeah. It's going to cycle through, then I'll start it again. Okay.
What's that, Ms. Works?
I just hit my brakes weren't right, so I couldn't stop.
Okay, that's it?
Yes.
So did you crash somewhere down the road?
No, I ain't crashed. No, I'm saying my brakes was going bad, so I couldn't do no immediate stop because I didn't want to slide.
Okay. All right, I find Ms. Works liable. Find her the sum of $258.
$258. Why is it $258?
Because you're contesting it. Are you contesting it? Are you telling me you ran the red light, or are you telling me you didn't run the red light? Which is it?
I didn't run the red light.
You what?
Didn't.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just found that you did. So you contested it. So that makes it $258. Are you trying to tell me the brakes were some sort of excuse for you running the red light?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
But I still make it $258.
Well, did you get the brakes fixed?
Yeah, my brakes is fixed now.
Okay, so you're telling me for some reason or other your concern over hitting those brakes is what would have caused you to go through that light.
I didn't want to slide. That's why I didn't.
All right, well, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt then, and I'll make it $208.
How long do I have to pay that?
They'll tell you.
Do you get an extension?
It's 30 days.
I don't have 30 days to pay that.
If you'll have a seat, they'll give you your order in just a moment. Okay, next matter is miscellaneous business. Jonathan Benedict.
Now, Ms. Patelka, I don't remember my circumstances anymore, but whatever the circumstances were caused me to agree that we were willing to dismiss.
No notice.
There's an issue regarding the notice, I believe, an attorney and one?
Right, that was an attorney, you didn't get notice.
But on both of these, there were circumstances where the notices weren't proper, and so they weren't here at the proceeding, and they were right turns on red, and they were found. Okay, they were both where they wasn't notice given to the defendant.
They were attorneys.
Or violator, and there were attorneys. There was an attorney, and attorney wasn't noticed. The other one, was there an attorney as well? I'm trying to recall.
Both.
So both of them, they were attorneys, said that notified us that they were a part of the case. They weren't notified.
Well, they notified the violation process.
So. That never got to us. So we didn't notice them, so they didn't show. And they notified us after the fact and said that we didn't receive notice of the proceeding. This was a write on red, and we agreed that we would stipulate for dismissal on both of those proceedings.
So you're asking me to dismiss a previous finding of liability?
Yes. So I guess a motion to reconsider.
All right. Based on the city's request for reconsideration with regard to Jonathan M. Benedict, based upon the circumstances as related to the special magistrate, and I'll go ahead and order dismissal of the citation issued to Jonathan M. Benedict. And with regard to the case, the circumstances are the same for Newton as well?
Yes, sir.
And with regard to the case as it changed Newton, based upon the city attorney's explanation of the circumstances and request for reconsideration, I will go ahead and dismiss the previous finding of liability as to James Newton as well. Okay. Does that cover everything?
That covers everything. Everything.